Hey guys, this is Blue July. Welcome to season 2 of the Be Someone podcast by Chris Ortiz.
Float around, I float around in clouds of gray. Lurking in the shadows, I don't think I'm coming home today.
Got some red stains covered in my jeans. This my life, this my team. Blue July, the gang, and we the new defeat. Hey.
All right, Houston. Go out there and be that someone.
Welcome, everyone, to the Be Someone podcast. This is the coach, Chris Ortiz, and today's special guest is none other than Eric Regalado, former student of mine and successful small business owner. Eric runs Lawn Boys, a lawn care and maintenance service here in the Woodlands, Texas. And on this episode, we talk all things lawn care and maintenance, especially here in the North Houston area, as well as things that small business owners have to deal with when running a successful company. Eric's contact info, if you're interested in some lawn care maintenance, is 346-814-6442, and he is at Lawn Boys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Be Someone podcast with the coach Chris Ortiz and Eric Regalado. Hey everyone, welcome to season 2 of the Be Someone podcast with the coach Chris Ortiz. In season 2, we're going to go out and interview some new folks. We're going to go back and revisit some of my old friends. Either way, one thing is for certain, we're going to have some hellified conversations. We're going to have a good time and just talk all things Houston sports, psychology, entrepreneurship, coaching, you know, you name it, we're going to speak about it. Something else to also keep in the back of your mind. I'm also a children's book author. I am also an educator. I'm also a coach. And you can find all of my work at CoachOrtiz.com. It's your one-stop shop for anything that I put out. So if you could, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Be Someone podcast with none other than Coach Chris Ortiz. Take care and have a blessed day, everyone. Hey, welcome everyone to the Be Someone podcast. We got our small business spotlight today. We got my main man, Knox Legend, Lawn Boys, Eric Regalado.
Right? Hey, how's it going, coach? Yeah.
Did I roll that all right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. Hey, it's been a minute since I seen you, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just regular old stuff, you know, going to school and doing lawn maintenance and, you know, just regular stuff.
All right, well, I know it's probably been about a year or so since we've sat down and chatted.
Yeah.
I know that you were originally my yard man, and you had to slow down a little bit because you are educating yourself. I think it's in welding?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this education in welding.
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to say is, like, I was actually reading a Facebook post today about this girl on Facebook who was saying that, you know, she feels overwhelmed that she had to change her career like 4 times. But, you know, I was like, I used to be at that point where I had to change my career. I changed my career like 3 times. And I was at that point where I didn't know what to do. But, you know, I looked in and just kind of what best fit my situation. And I'm about a year out from getting my associates. So I got next semester and then one class and that's it. And, you know, it's taken me like 5 years to get this. But, you know, if I would have gave up last year, then I would never have gotten it. You know, so better late than never. So,
yeah, well, you're further educating yourself. You're learning, you know, a new skill, a new trade. And then on top of that, you're running a successful lawn care business. You know, so it's not like you're just in your mom's house, sleeping on the couch, eating all the tortillas.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're out there hustling and grinding. And actually, a funny story, I think it was like a couple years ago, I used to be an employee of you. I was hollering at you, knocking at your door, saying, yeah, hey, Eric, you got some side work for me? And you're like, yeah, coach, come on.
Yeah, you were a good worker. You were a good worker. Yeah, it was hot, you know, and, you know, you stayed out there and you did really good, you know, and you never said no, and, you know, you did your best, and, you know, that's all that counts.
Right. how interesting was it to have a former teacher of yours be working underneath you? Was that kind of strange? Was it odd? Did you expect that?
No, but like, I know you're very humble, so like, you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You know, you don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder, you know, thinking like you can't do something, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're all human, and, you know, yep, something can happen and causes you to do something that you didn't think you would do. So, nah, you, I mean, it was a really cool experience, you know, like, not many people can say that they work with their teacher, you know, so it was really cool.
Maybe knocking on that door again, man.
Yeah.
Getting older, though, man. I think I only got, like, one day a week in me.
Yeah, no, it's hard work, yeah.
Well, let's go with your origin story, man. Tell me, what was it like growing up, you know, Eric? Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been through, you know, I lived pretty much everywhere you can think of. Like, I've lived in the ghetto. I lived in the city. I lived in the country. I live, you know, good areas, bad areas, everything. Good came here when I was, like, 1 year old in 1996. All my family came from Mexico. And my mom was young with me. You know, she must have been like 23 or 24, maybe a little bit younger. And, you know, she was with my grandparents, got here to a new country. So she struggled to, like, you know, adapt all her life that she lived in Mexico, now come here. And, you know, she did some things that were bad, you know, took me out, left my grandma's house, and, you know, went and hooked up with a drug dealer.
Damn.
Yeah, in Houston, you know, and the worst, I mean, ghetto you can think of, you know. I'm too young to, like, I was too young back then to really think about it, but I'm pretty sure they were, like, cartel, you know, because they'd have connections in Mexico.
Yep.
And all that type of stuff. And, you know, I seen things that I shouldn't have seen and did things. Well, I didn't do things, but I seen things that I shouldn't have seen at that age. So, yeah, you know, I've seen it all, you know, good, bad, everything. So.
Well, growing up, you know, what kind of student were you? Because I think my first encounter with you was probably like the 7th or 8th grade over at Knox Junior High, where I was a teacher over there. I never had you in my class, but I always knew who you were. You know, you were always wearing, I bet you they were Dickie pants, man, and Dickie shorts, Dickie, and you always had a white tee.
Southpaw, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing you. You know, you said hi to everybody. You were really welcoming, and, I mean, you just never know who you're going to meet, you know what I'm saying? And look at us right now.
Right, we're sitting here.
10 years later. You
chopping
know what I'm
it up on the podcast.
So it's like, you know, that's why you always got to be nice to people and just, you know, just be yourself, you know, and you never know who you're going to meet, you know what I'm saying?
What kind of student, though, were you at Knox Junior High, man? Like, what kind of crowd you running around with? Yeah. I always remember you just being a nice kid.
Yeah.
I think maybe the crowd you ran around with, though, at the time, I think they were a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a pretty decent student. Like, I guess, like, when you're young, you, like, you don't really think about it. At least I didn't, you know. Like, coming from immigrant family, like, they don't really persuade you. Like, they tell you to get good grades, but they don't really know what that means. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was just trying to make it through school. Compared to other students that were academically, like, really good and, like, went to sports and stuff, you don't really think about that. You know, you're just like, well, I'm here. You know, and I got to do this, I got to turn this in, and I was an average student, you know, nothing special.
Ain't no wrong with being an average student, though, man.
Yeah.
Hey, C's get degrees.
Yeah. And, yeah, I did, I mean, we had a group of, you know, Hispanic kids that didn't really fit in with the other kids, you know, and, you know, we did our own thing, and, you know, had our own Mexican culture, and, you know, some of us did get in trouble and, you know, did things. But for the most of us, I mean, we were just, you know, your regular kid from the hood, you know, just kind of, or not even from the hood, but just that Mexican culture, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah, and there was,
you know, it's different.
Yeah, there was far, you know, fewer minorities back in those days.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you stuck out to me, because there wasn't a lot of folks that looked like you. There were some, and those of y'all that were there, y'all stuck together.
Yeah, yeah. I saw your picture at Haley. And there was, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 kids that were minorities. And when I was there, I think I was the only Mexican there. You know, like, 15, 16 years ago or something crazy like that. But, I still remember Miss Horn, you know. I faintly remember her. And, Knox was really good to me, the experience and the people.
Any teachers?
And the teachers.
teachers or principals that stuck out to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Mr. Dahl for sure. You, Miss Rayford.
She's still there.
Yeah, she's really cool. There were some kids that got on her bad side because they were bad, you know. But nah, she was really cool with you. If you were cool with her, and I think that's it that I remember.
That's plenty, man.
Yeah, Mr. Kenjamie, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he's gone, though.
Yeah, he is. The technology teacher, right?
Yeah, I think it was eighth grade, my eighth grade year. He was like, yeah, I'm leaving to... I think he wanted to work at a campground or something. Like, retire and work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real good dude. Well, let's talk about, you know, you getting a little bit older and you have a decision to make, you know, college or, you know, the entrepreneurial route, you know. And what route did you end up choosing?
Well, I'm kind of in both, which is good and
not
bad.
Now. We're talking about back in high school.
Oh, back in high school. Well, when I was in high school, like, I was behind in classes, so I was just trying to make it, like, graduation. I graduated, like, 1 hour before the deadline. So, like, that week that seniors get off early, I had to stick around in school and finish credits. And I didn't really, like... It's kind of like a blur to me in a way because I was just, you know, focused on that. I wasn't thinking about what am I going to do after here. I'm just focused on trying to finish this, you know. And, but once I did get out, though, I had kind of like a scholarship for Lone Star. You know, it was a middle school to college program that started at Knox. And you would sign up for it. And then, you know, they'll pay for like your first 2 years if you stuck with the program. And it was all for minorities. They're trying to get them involved and trying to get them to graduate. And I just saw recently that Lone Star has the number one or number two in the country population of Hispanic kids in college.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's number two in graduating Hispanics and number one in Hispanics for the whole country.
All right. Well, what did you end up doing after high school? Because I know you had a choice to make. What route did you end up taking?
Like, getting out of high school, you know, as for me, it's like, I don't know what it was, but, like, some people know what they want to do, you know? They're like, okay, I kind of want to go this route, I kind of want to go that route. For me, it was just like, okay, I got the scholarship, so I'm going to go ahead and take it and see what happens. I started doing live entertainment technology, but I kind of got out of it because I, you know, a couple classes in, I was like, yeah, I don't really like this. So I got out of that, went into welding. Got out of welding, went into business. Now I'm back into welding. So I'm almost done with that. You know, it's not exactly what I want to do, you know, but it's a step in the right direction. Like, it'll help me get to where I want to be, kind of, you know, and then it'll be as a plan B, you know, in case my business thing doesn't work out. And, you know, it was the faster track too, because their classes, instead of being a full semester, it's half a semester. So yeah. You take four, but you're really only taking two at a time.
Yeah.
So I've been in college for so long, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get this done. It's going to be faster. It's going to be better, you know. And it kind of goes into what I want to do, which would be animal science at Sam Houston. But, you know, either working at a ranch or something like that, maybe in the future, you know. So welding, you know, they got agricultural welding, which is like, you know, part of it. So they teach you that in all ag classes in high school and stuff. I actually took it in high school. But like I said, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't know anything like what I wanted to do or anything, you know. If I could go back in time, I would have definitely looked into more of that agricultural side. So
yeah, we live and we learn, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they say you find yourself in college, and I think I believe it.
Yeah. Well, did you pick up anything on the business side? Because what you ended up doing and what you're currently doing is, you know, you're running a very successful, you know, yard maintenance operation, you know, here in the Woodlands, Texas, you know, very, you know, wealthy client base, you know, no shortage of work out here. In fact, you know, you even had to unload my yard, you know, just to keep your head above water because, you know, it's too much going on at one time. How did you find yourself in the yard game?
You know, I've always done yard work, like, since I was a little kid. One, not like little, you know, but like 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, I've always done a couple yards in the neighborhood, and, you know, in my grandparents' neighborhood. And it kind of always stuck with me. My first job was at Burger King, and, you know, since I started working there, I was like, you know what, I'm not making a lot of money, like, even at high school and college, like, I won't be able to support my gas, my truck bill, my cell phone bill, my insurance, you know, pay for college and stuff. I was like, there's no way I could do this, you know, because it wasn't paying enough. So I was like, well, you know, I've always done a couple yards around the neighborhood, you know, and one day I quit from that job, and then I went to another job cleaning offices, and then they were trying to bring me back down to my old position and pay me less money because somebody was willing to do it for cheaper. So I was like, screw that, left that. And just kind of my next door neighbor was like, hey, she's an older lady. And she was like, hey, I know you're out of work. I made these business cards for you. You should go pass them around and see maybe you can gain customers. And, you know, you're out of work right now, but you're willing to work, you know, so I think it'll be good for you. And I did that. And that was in 2017. And I haven't looked back since. I mean, you know, it's not a big company or anything and nothing like that crazy, you know, but I do have my little clientele, you know, that's wealthy and, you know, you know, that keeps my bills paid and stuff, you know, so, and I've been able to get equipment and stuff like that, so, yeah. For right now, you know.
But you're able to, like you said, pay your bills, you're able to go out and purchase equipment that you own, you know, not rent, mm-hmm. And you have the freedom of being your own boss man, which is, a lot of people wish that they had that freedom, you know, like, yeah. They don't feel like going in today.
Yeah.
You don't have to, and I know that's never the case. But that freedom there exists. You don't have someone looking over your shoulder. You don't have someone telling you, well, you need to do this better. You need to do that better. As an entrepreneur and as, you know, a business owner, you have freedom. That's the big, I think, pull with being, you know, your own boss is the freedom that you have. And then, you know, we can take it a step further. If at any point you wanted to sell your client base, you know, and then sell your equipment, you could probably get out of there with a pretty nice little chunk of change, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you've accumulated some things, I think, that you're drastically underselling yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're here to talk about that. Let's get into this, like, getting started. Where did you pick up that first mower that was your mower, not the one you borrowed from your mom or anything like that? Like, tell me about that.
Yeah, my grandma's neighborhood, there was a guy in front of our street that was a mechanic, and he had an old mower, and he was like, it was just like a really cheap one. He was like, hey, can you mow my grass? And I'm like, well, I don't have a mower. He's like, well, I'll give you this one if you mow it 2 or 3 times. So I did that. And then I used to hang out, you know, with a couple friends from the neighborhood, and they were like, hey, you know, you should go knock on a couple people's door and, you know, get some clients. And I was like, yeah. So I did that, and then it kind of just snowballed, you know, without you even realizing it. And then it just kind of stuck with me for a couple years. And you know, if you asked me back then, would I be doing this like full time, I'd be like, nah, you know, like, gotta, but it just happened, you know. It's just kind of like, yeah, I went and passed out those cards, next thing I know, you know, I'm doing my own thing, and you know, I've been doing that for a while now. So getting, you know, of course now, you know, I got better mowers, trailers, you know, truck and all that. But yeah,
when you started off, what did you have? Were you out of a car? Was it just a truck and you threw everything in the back? Like,
well, when I first started, you know, I was just walking around the neighborhood because I, you know, I was really young. But like the second time around, I guess you could say, like, where I actually started, you know, I had my truck. I had just gotten it, and then I was making some payments, and then what's it called? And then you know, I had a couple little mowers that weren't that good, and then weed eater, blower. And just started knocking on doors, you know, and gaining clients and gaining experience and then gaining equipment, you know.
What are some things that, what are some costs as a yard man that you incur that, you know, maybe people don't know about?
You know, your equipment, you got to invest in good equipment. It all depends on your, what you have, you know. Just try to spend the most that you can on your equipment without breaking your bank, you know.
Well, what's the value in good equipment? Why not just buy the cheap stuff?
Because it'll cost you time, you know. Breakdowns, you know, they'll break easily, and then you'll have to talk to clients like, hey, I can't make it out today, my machine broke, and it makes you look kind of bad, you know, like, who's this guy, you know. You know, reliability, you don't want to be out there in the middle of the yard, you know, my weed eater won't start or my blower won't start, you know, you don't want to do that. It's frustrating, it takes time, and whenever you're real busy, you know, that's where it comes in, you know, it comes in check real quick. Like, if you got good equipment, you don't have no any downtime, you know? Because it can be really stressful, you know, doing your own thing, because, you know, if something breaks, something happens, it's all on you, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is no, hey, I'm going to call up the boss and tell him to bring more gas, you know? Or I'm going to call up the boss and tell him this isn't working. Like, it's on you, you know? And you can't tell your clients, oh, yeah, you know what? Like, I just wasn't really feeling it. And, you know, my machine broke and I don't have money for it, you know? Because they'll be like, all right, well, I'm going to go find somebody else, you know?
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They got someone on standby.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a responsibility, but, I mean, if you, you know, if you're talking about, like, creating wealth and stuff, you know, I think that's probably the only way. I mean, not the only way, but, like, the best way is to start your own business or do your own thing or create something, invent something, you know what I'm saying? Because if you're working a 9-to-5 job, I mean, look at what, you'll get raises and stuff, you know, and you might climb up the ladder. But, you know, it's not going to be, like, big game changer, you know, like, big wealth, you know. And on doing your own thing, you have that opportunity, you know what I'm saying? The sky's the limit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can tell you as a teacher, you know, we do all right. You know, mm-hmm. we work, you know, 9 of the 12 years, or 9 and a half of the 12 months, you know, in a year. But, like, the raises, it's about a G every year, mm-hmm. you know, about a grand. But then, what people don't tell you is that, like, the insurance goes up almost that same amount of money.
Oh, man.
So it's almost like a wash. It's like, it looks good on paper, but when you really get down to it, it's like you really did climb that ladder very far. You got like half a rung.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I got a couple clients that like do investments and stuff like that. And they were telling me, you know, if you want to become rich, like the best thing to do is do what you're doing, you know, like start your own business and do that, because, you know, you can kind of control what you're charging people, and then, you know, the sky's the limit. I mean, you know, you can add that other truck and make double your money, or triple, you know, quadruple, whatever you want to do. It just takes time, effort, and you got to strategize, you know, and try not to go into a lot of debt, you know. I mean, someone that's out there thinking about starting their own lawn business, and, you know, they want the best equipment, the truck, the everything that looks nice, but they go into debt for it. And then, you know, they figure out, like, oh, you know, I forgot, you know, I didn't know I needed this amount of clientele to cover that. Now I can't pay my light bill, or I can't do this or that. So, I mean, don't, you know, if someone's out there thinking about it, best thing they could do is just start with what they have, what they can, and then upgrade little by little, you know? Oh, don't go, like, all in, and then, you know, something happens, and then you'll lose everything, you know?
Oh, definitely. And again, one of the things that I noticed whenever I was working for you was that there are so many different things that I never took into account that you have to pay for and have to keep, you know, maintain. Like, you had some really nice mowers, but the mower that you had was a little bit bigger, and that had value because you could get through a yard quicker.
Yeah.
You know, and it had a stronger motor, therefore it wasn't going to break down as quickly. I was there whenever you transitioned from your original trailer to the nicer trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that trailer wasn't cheap. I remember you telling me, you know, you were around shopping, looking for the right one, and, you know, finally you settled on it. But, you know, there's a couple of, you know, weed eaters, you know, good heavy set, you know, blower, you know, rakes, trash bags, like, you know, they're
gas. You got to maintain your truck too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, oil changes on the machines, buying the oil gas mixture for the machines, you know, and
there's a lot
storage cost, you know, to keep all your stuff secure. And then, you know, it's just, yeah, and you know, it's hard work, you know, it's nothing easy, you know, but I mean, you know, if you're willing to put in the work, you know, you'll get the reward, you know, kind of.
Let's talk about the customer service side of things. One of the things that while watching you run your business, I saw that you had developed, you know, really good relationships with your clients. I noticed that, you know, you would knock on the door, there'd be, you know, conversations. It looked more than a business relationship. It looked like a very friendly relationship. What's the value in that?
Yeah, it's very important, you know, to just, you know, keep things professional, but also keep it, you know, kind of like your friendly, I guess you could say, you know. Just because, like, you know, people are investing in you, and you're investing in them in a sense. You know, they're investing in their money in you to take care of their property, and you're investing your time in their property to make it look good, you know. So it's kind of like give and take. So there's a relationship there, you know. It's you got different types of relationships, you know. You got friendly, you got marriage, you got, you know, professional, you know, type of stuff like that. So yeah, keeping relationships with people is very important. You know, you never know who you're gonna meet, and or you never know what's gonna happen down the line. You know, you might have a weed eater stolen, and they're like, "Hey, I'll let you borrow mine." You know, it's been sitting there. I mean,
has that happened?
One time I did have a weed eater stolen, and the client was like, "Hey, I got this old one you can use," but by then I already bought another one. But you know, if you build that special relationship with people, you'll be surprised. Like, you know, well, what type of relationship, you know, you can build with them, and you know how they look at you and stuff. You know, some people are just in and out and collect the money, but you know, if you build that relationship with them, when someone else comes and knocks on the door and it's like, "Hey, I can do your yard for $5 cheaper," it's like, well, you know, it might be $5 cheaper, but this guy, you know, I know him, you know, he's I know his friend. Story. Yeah, I know who he is. I know, you know, all that. So it's like, that helps you out, you know.
Well, also too, like the quality of your work, you know, I've had different people come by and, you know, take care of the yard, and there's some things that you do that are different than, you know, like the average yard guy. You know, those leaves are always taken care of. Everything's always blown off properly, you know, like they're raked, or they're put in the proper location. Like, I don't really know how to explain it other than, like, details matter to you.
Yeah.
What are some of those things that you do that other, you know, yard spots don't?
I guess, like, you know, I just make sure the yard looks good and make sure leaves get blown, grass gets mowed and stuff. You know, I pay attention to detail, like you say, you know. That's a good way to explain it.
Yeah, I would say that's the difference that I've experienced is details.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, some people, they might charge less, but I think they charge them, in order to make up for what they charge less, they have to do it faster, you know?
Yeah.
So that means they won't do good jobs most of the time, you know? And then eventually, you know, they'll figure out, like, hey, I'm working myself to death, you know? So I gotta up my prices, and then they'll up their prices or something. You know, I like to look at it as, it's your yard, but I want to make it look like it's my yard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take pride in my work, you know? I come in, I do a good job, and, you know, I take pride in that, you know? And I like it. You know, I like to make it look good. Kind of like I would like somebody to treat me, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, it definitely shows, man. And like I said, the customer service, the attention to detail. I know that my wife is a fan of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's like, "Hey, man, you know, when that back porch wasn't blown off," she's like, "Eric never would have done that."
Yeah.
She's like, "Get Eric back over here." He's like, "All right, man, let me holler." And then it's like energy in the universe. You know, yeah. You hollered back at me and said, "Hey, my schedule opened up."
Yeah.
So it's weird how that works out, man.
Yeah,
that is
weird. We were thinking
about
huh?
you, and then next thing I know, we get a text from you.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of weird, yeah.
Let's talk about tips for maintaining your yard in Texas, because like we got a crazy, you know, hot string over here. It's like hot 9-10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
What are some things that, you know, you as a Woodlands resident, you know, so to speak, or Woodlands yard man, what are some, you know, tips that you could give out to our people out there that are listening?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people, what I've noticed is they have a lot of bald spots in their yard, you know. Certain areas that don't grow really good, or they do grow, and then certain times out of the year they start dying and stuff. One of the things that, you know, I just get yesterday or Saturday, I planted Friday and Saturday, I planted a bunch of a marichade grass that looks just like your typical lawn around here.
Yeah.
St. Augustine, but it's for shaded areas. So, you know, we live in the woodlands, so there's a lot of trees, a lot of shade. And people don't always take that in account, you know. They just want to plant the regular sod. But this stuff only takes 2 hours of sunlight compared to the regular St. Augustine that it requires 4. So I would tell somebody, you know, a lot of people have those spots that nothing grows. And just, you know, try to get that type of grass, you know. King Ranch Turf Sales is the ones that sell it. Marichade. And I think those are the only ones that sell it around here. But you got to pre-order, and they're done for the season until next season. Mm. But, yeah, definitely, it's $30 more than a regular pallet, but it's definitely worth it, you know, for those shaded areas.
And if it's for bald spots, right? It's not like you need the whole yard done with it.
Yeah, but the only problem is they require you to get a full pallet. Like, they don't sell half pallets because it's a specialty type of grass. So you would have to get a full pallet, but...
You can find enough spots.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, usually it's not just a couple spots. Like, it's like a pretty big area, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
what about the amount of water these yards need out here? Like, with the sun being out, with it being so hot and the dry spells... Mm-hmm. Like, how often do you recommend that people water their grass over here?
Usually, the best time to water is in the morning, like around 6 a.m. before the sun comes out. Because if you water at night, I see a lot of people water at night. And then when I'm driving around, I see these commercial places, you know, watering at night. And the problem is it creates fungus. Because then during the nighttime, it gets cooler and then it's wet. So it doesn't have that sun hitting it. So it just stays wet. So... you'll have a lot of diseases, problems come up on your grass. Best time to water is at 6 a.m. around there before the sun comes up. That way it has, you know, a long time for it to dry out. It's best to water 3 times a week for about 30 minutes, just the grass by itself, not the other, like mulch beds and stuff, just the grass by itself, about 30 minutes, 3 times a week. Maybe sometimes a little bit less if it rains a lot, maybe sometimes a little bit more if it's really dry, you know. Another thing is mowing your grass at the right height. Mm. Like, when I started, I used to mow pretty low.
Yeah.
But then, what I started realizing was the higher I went up a little bit, it would look greener, and it would stay greener. And then, finally, one day, I was looking around, like, when I started getting into the more wealthy areas, and I was like, everybody cuts their grass high. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, definitely cutting it, you know, around the 4... Like, every mower is different, but from about the 4 mark to, like, the 5th, or, yeah, about the 4, 4.5, 5th mark of your leverage thing, that's about what you want to cut it at. If you fertilize like you're supposed to, you know, every 6 months in the warm season and water accordingly, then you have to mow your grass once a week. You don't want to, like, let it get crazy because that'll actually hurt the grass, you know, it'll look kind of yellow at the bottom once you cut it, you know. Because it'll start dying. So you want to do that. Some places only require it twice a week, you know, the grass doesn't grow a whole lot. So that definitely watering. A lot of people don't water, you know, a lot because we do get quite a bit of rain, you know, so we're not like a desert or anything. But you still have to water because it gets so hot, you know.
Yes, it does.
It's like you go pour water out and in an hour it's gone, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, about 9-10 months out of the year, man. That's... Mm-hmm. Damn near 90 degrees
here. Yeah, it's 90 right now, and we're already, you know,
middle of October.
10. Yeah, so.
What about, like, tips for, like, the fall and winter out here? Because your business kind of shifts. Like, you don't cut as much, but you start, you know, raking the hell out of some leaves. Yeah. Like, what are some yard maintenance tips, you know, for the fall and winter?
Definitely, you know, just keep, if you have a service provider, just keep them going. Some weekly clients turn into bi-weekly clients. Bi-weekly clients just keep doing bi-weekly, depending on what area, like our area of the woodlands is good, you know, because we got a lot of trees. That's the area that I try to stick because in the wintertime, those other areas like in the back of the woodlands that, you know, they don't have any trees. They're just, you know, solid grass. They developers just cut everything and just planted these little trees, you know, in the wintertime, like in the spring, summer, fall, you know, it does really good. But in the wintertime, you don't have really anything to do. So yeah. It's like I try to stick to the areas where there's more trees. Even though it's more work because you'll have to blow leaves like in the summer when it gets really hot. But in the wintertime, you'll have work, you know. Just picking up leaves, pine needle, everything, you know. Just pick it all up. You don't want to wait too long because, you know, then you'll have so much work to do, you know.
Yeah.
It'll create places for snakes and bugs and stuff to hide. You know, you'll be tracking stuff in, allergies, you know, all that type of stuff, so.
What are some things about the yard game that people don't know?
I mean, I guess people, they do realize that, like, it's hot outside. But I don't think they realize how hot it is until you're actually outside working, like, 8-10 hours a day. And it's a real feel, 110 with, like, 90% humidity.
Yeah, I had zero clue until I went out there with you.
Yeah,
and no, I come home and just want to die.
It's I mean, I'd like to say you get used to it, but you really don't. You know, every year it's like, every year, you know, you feel like you're going to die out there, you know. You got to drink a lot of water, but you also got to replenish your electrolytes. So, like, drinking Gatorade or Powerade or Body Armor. I recently switched to Body Armor because it has a lot less sodium.
Yeah.
Too much sodium, you know, raises your blood pressure, creates other health problems. So, you still get those electrolytes without so much sodium. So,
what would you say, you know, to the yard man that is, he's growing and he's got a good, steady client base at how many yards do you think that he needs to go out and secure some help? Because there's got to be a magic number to where, you know, you're busting your balls too much.
Yeah.
And you need, and it's worth bringing on someone, you know, for.
Yeah. I'd say, like, you know, it's, I mean, the numbers definitely count, but more than anything, it's your prices, you know, like, I'm guilty of it. Like, you know, I got to raise my prices up more.
Yeah, but I do think you knew.
Yeah. Especially the type of work I do and, like, what people have been telling me, like, yeah, you know, we had other people, but we can't find anybody like you. So, yeah, I got to raise my prices, you know.
At least five, man.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you know, really raising them, like, once I'm get done with school, you know, and I can focus more on it. But, you know, look at your prices. Like, when we all started out, you know, you got to get those cheap clients or whatever work you can get, you know, to put money in your pocket. But as you progress, you know, you got more space to, you're not so rushed to get money, you know what I'm saying? Because you, at least now you can pay some of your bills and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can start raising prices and handing out more cards, more marketing. And you're going to get less yeses, but that's kind of what you want. You know, you don't want yes all the time because that means you're not high enough. And you don't want no all the time because that means you're pretty high. You know what I'm saying? So you want that. You know, you want some yeses, some nos, you know. Passing out a lot of cards, word of mouth. If you do a good job, you know, that counts a lot. Some of the richest people that do lawn care that I listen to their podcasts and stuff, you know, they say word of mouth is still the best thing.
Yeah, it is. I think that goes across
business. Yeah, and, you know, the reason I think it is because, like, You know, if someone's your friend or your family or something, and they ask you, hey, do you know anybody that's good and that does yard work? And it's like, yeah, this guy's awesome, you know. They'll automatically believe him because they got that relationship, you know. As opposed to, like, if you go around and knock on their door, they're like, well, who is this guy, you know? Is he credible? I don't know, you know. As opposed to, like, you know, your family member, which you know is credible, you know, and they'll back you up, so that puts you ahead, you know.
Something I've noticed is that you've been blending social media with your work. How has that been going? How is, spotlighting the yard game, you know, on Instagram and Facebook?
Yeah.
How has that benefited you?
Well, like, right now, you know, everything, like, I guess the lawn care community, you know, across America and stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos, people that are, you know, influencers and stuff. So, social media has really taken that, I guess, it built that culture, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of joined and did my Instagram with, like, you know, to join the community of lawn care and stuff. And, you know, if you record everything that you do, whenever you get new clients, they'll be able to see all your work, you know? They'll be able to see everything that you do, who you are, where you're from. So you're creating, like, back in the day, you know, you would create, like, a phone book, you know, like people's phones and stuff, or like a journal. You're basically doing that, but you're doing it through Instagram, you know what I'm saying? So now you don't have to really be like, hey, well, I can do this, this, and that, or I'll show you some pictures. Now they can go on there. I mean, it's all there, you know. You got your whole business journal in there, you know. You got everything that you do, before and after pictures. And I think that, you know, that helps you gain credibility, so people now know this guy's serious, you know. This guy knows what he's doing. He's not just gonna come in here and take our money, you know.
All right. And you spoke about different, you know, influencers in the lawn game. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of, you know, things that you have learned directly off of you know, their social media, their podcast, that you previously did not know?
Yeah,
And who are these guys?
Yeah, one of the biggest, I guess, is Brian's Lawn Maintenance on YouTube, Instagram, all that. Paul Jameson with the Green Industry podcast. The way I kind of got into it was listening to podcasts. And, you know, I started hearing all the tips and everything that they're trying to do for the lawn care community to, you know, help people learn from their mistakes. So, you know, raising prices is one, getting good equipment, learning how to pick your clients, you know. You don't want everybody on the block, you know, because some people are cheap, some people have too high expectations.
Yeah.
So what you want is to, like, you know, build a profile of the perfect client, perfect, that you want, you know. You want that person that's like, yeah, you know, I want you to come do my grass and... You know, if it gets slow, I don't care, you know, keep coming, you know. And people that say, oh, you do a good job, you know. Not those people that are like, oh, you missed this spot or you didn't do this, you know. I mean, there's just some people that can never be satisfied, you know. They got things going on in their life and they're trying to take it out on you, you know.
Yep, they're probably like that on everything.
Yeah, so you don't want to deal with those type of people because you'll be spending more time doing that and you won't spend the time... on the good clients, you know, because you're spending it on this bad person instead of spending that time on a good person, you know. So it
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of things, you know, if anybody out there is thinking about doing lawn care or something, listen to them. Brian's Lawn Maintenance and Paul Jameson with the Green Industry podcast. You can look them up on Spotify, Apple Cast, or what's it called,
something like that.
Yeah, I don't have Apple, so I don't know, but you can look them up on there, you know.
What about you? You got a little podcast you've been working on. Yeah. Man. Tell us about that.
I started it, you know, I kind of stopped right now because I was so busy with school and stuff. This last semester, summer was just brutal. I took like 4 classes, you know, these classes, I mean, they're shorter semester-wise, but they're longer hour-wise, you know, they're 4-hour classes every day. So it's pretty crazy. So I kind of stepped out of it for a little bit, but I'm stepping back into it. Mowing Life, you know, podcast. So yeah.
What are some things that y'all cover on your podcast?
Kind of the same thing other people cover. You know, I want to hear, like, you know, experiences that other lawn care people have had. You know, their do's and don'ts and what they like, what they don't like, you know, and just kind of bringing that information to other people. Just how I listen to podcasts a lot, you know, it helps you, like, you know, think outside the box, you know.
All right, well,
kind of like what we're doing here, you know. It's cool.
What's the future for you and your business? Talk to me. How are you going to mix the welding and the yard work? How's all this come together in a master plan?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. You know, some people tell me, well, why don't you just quit school, you know, and do the lawn care stuff? You'll make more money. And it's true, you know, you'll make a lot more money. But, you know, I believe in having a plan B, you know, a plan C, a plan D. I mean, the more you got education-wise and financially-wise, you know, and business-wise and stuff, the better you'll be off, you know. Nobody says, oh, I wish I didn't get that degree, you know. Some people may have said that if they didn't like their degree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's just nobody's like, oh, I wish I didn't have that extra cash or that extra opportunity, you know, or that extra, you know, something. So I kind of want to finish that. Then maybe in the maybe in like the following year or something, look into Sam Houston for the animal science degree, because that's what I really want to do. But at the same time, I gotta become core completed at Lone Star and to transfer over there to make it more affordable and not have to take those classes out there and waste more time, you know what I'm saying? So by getting my associates, it'll put me a step closer to getting my bachelor's at Sam Houston for animal science. So that's why I did this too, to, like, you know, make, instead of being in college for, you know, more than 4 years, because it's a 4-year degree, but since you work, you can't do it full time. So instead of being in college for like 6 years to get that degree or something, you know, now it'll only probably take me like 3 years, you know what I'm saying? Because I got my associates, get my, become core completed, so I got to take like chemistry, I think, and history. But, you know, I figure that out after I get my associates, you know, after I'm done. And then at that point, I think I'll start investing more into the my business, you know, started like raising prices, looking for maybe some help, you know, stuff like that. Because at least now I'm done with what I had planned, you know, and I can focus my, I can put more focus on the business, you know what I'm saying?
Is there anyone you'd like to give a shout out to before we get out of here?
You.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, thanks for, you know, I mean, you do a lot for a lot of people, you know, and you are really cool with everybody at school, you know, and I mean, you got this podcast and, you know, your book and stuff and all your students, you know, you really try to help them and try to, you know, if they got talents and stuff, you know, you try to help them and, you know, it's just cool. And, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. A shout out to Mr. Dahl, you know. I'll see him I'll see him one of these days. You know, he likes fishing, right?
That dude fishes all the damn time. He's at a tournament this weekend.
Yeah, I like fishing too, so maybe we'll catch up one of these days. And, oh, Mr. McKinley and at Knox. I can't believe I forgot him. McKinley, right? And then McKinley Green, I think, right? Or,
I don't know.
Oh, what's his name? He was the team leadership.
Oh, Simon or Simon, McGinty?
McGinty and Simon, yeah. But more McGinty, because Simon, I mean, I like, you know, met with him a couple of times, but McGinty, shout out to him too, you know. You know, he's just doing his thing right now, right?
He's got his own business over there at Power Plus.
Yeah, he was really cool, yeah. He was a really good teacher, coach, and I remember him, yeah.
All right, man, well, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Mowin Life on Instagram. Without spaces, you know, no capital letters, just Mowin Life. And, yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you, you know, coming on the podcast. Hopefully, you know, probably catch like a day of work with you over the summer, you know, each week. Yeah. Just to keep myself, you know, humble, honest, and a little spending money too.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, man, I wish the best for you. Good luck on your degree. And good luck, you know, getting that animal science thing moving next. And, you know. I think the future looks bright for you, kid.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, hey, thank you all for tuning in to the Be Someone podcast with me, the coach Chris Ortiz, and Eric Regalado. Talk to y'all soon. Take care, have a blessed day, and go out and be that someone. We'd like to take a second to thank our sponsors. SilGrow USA, locally owned and operated, taking bare, bland, and broken properties, and then bringing them back and restoring their natural beauty. They use an all-natural three-step process, and they are currently serving the greater Houston Woodlands area. So if you're looking to replenish, rejuvenate, and restore your soil, holler at SilGrow USA. You can reach them at 346-386-7450. That's SilGrow USA. Then you can also reach out to the Molina team for your property needs. Residential, commercial, whatever it is, Manuel Molina will be able to help you at the Molina team serving the Woodlands and North Houston area. You can reach out to Manuel at mmolina@themolinateam.com. His number is 281-507-6923. Again, for all your property needs in the North Houston area, reach out to Manuel Molina and the Molina team. We have Ultimate Tutoring LLC. They tutor children from fifth grade all the way up to high school calculus. So for all your math needs, I want you to reach out to Ultimate Tutoring LLC. They even dabbled a little bit in chemistry and physics. And then last but not least, we have Zapman Productions. DJ, videographer, photography, anything that you need. Weddings, birthdays, school, company parties, pool parties. Reach out to Zapman Productions. 832-296-5265. You can also reach them at zapmanproductions@gmail.com. Thank you, guys, and go out and be that someone.
This is Blue July, and you're listening to the Be Someone podcast. Lights looking bright, the H got the vibe. See my name on the signs, it's my time to shine. When I was cruising 45 and it crossed my mind that I shine like the sun and that I'll be someone.
Lights, camera, session, use the flow molasses. Blue the line my fashion, future bright glasses. Applause from the masses.
This is
The Be Someone Podcast.